this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. Okay, so 2 weeks ago we talked about earthen vessels. Who are the earthen vessels? We are, right? And that's because we're fragile, we're broken, we're easily cracked. I brought this last week, and actually, I thought I'd kind of crack it a little bit to kind of show it. And what happened, it all fell apart. So if I kind of let go of this, it's all going to crumble. But this is kind of like what we are. You can kind of see it's got cracks. Actually, Jesus does a much better job I didn't do that on purpose, by the way. But, okay. We'll let Jesus take care of that one. Okay. I had it. It was kind of fragile. That's the way it is, right? Okay. Anyway. What's that? Yeah, he can put the pieces together. We might still see some cracks much better than I can. Anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 describes our lives today as we're living in these tents. You know, they're dirty. They're kind of getting worn out. In fact, it says that we groan because we long for our new bodies, right? And of course, that same chapter says that we're going to have what? We're going to have, you know, he's preparing a house for us to live in. So, but anyway, we are weak. We talked a lot. We're easily distracted. That's just who we are. However, God is putting his treasure. And who's that? Jesus, right? In us. And that's one of the most beautiful things, why God Almighty would put his treasure in earthen vessels. But that's the gospel. And we talked about a lot of things last week. One of the things we looked at were two parables in Matthew 13. One is about the man who finds a treasure hidden in a field. And what does he do? He kind of buries it back. He goes back. He sells everything he can in order to buy that field because that treasure is so valuable. And then there's another parable about a merchant of pearls. And he finds one day this great pearl of this great, it was beautiful. It had tremendous value. And what did he do? He went and sold everything he had to buy that one pearl. And that's how valuable Jesus is. Okay, so today we're going to finish up by looking at the phrase, the surpassing greatness of the power will be from God and not from ourselves. So that's going to be our focus, the surpassing greatness of the power. So let's kind of start off talking about power. I mean, there's people who get on power trips, people who, you know, they just thrive on just having power over people. You know, that's all fleshly. We're talking about God's power. And the Greek word is dunamis. And it's the word that we get dynamite from because it's truly powerful. It's explosive. There's another Greek word, exous in Greek. It's for power also, but it doesn't have the same explosive sense that this is. And the New Testament, when describing the power of God, uses dunamis. Okay? Dunamis also suggests something miraculous. It's a miraculous power. Something that is supernatural. Actually, sometimes the word is translated works of power or miraculous power. Let's kind of look at a couple other places where it talks about the power of God. Colossians 1, verse 29. And he's talking about here that we want to present every man, every woman complete in Christ. And he says in verse 29, for this purpose also I labor, striving together according to his power, which mightily works within me. So this power of God is actually part of that treasure. It comes forth from this treasure. It's not out there, but it's in here. Ephesians 1:19. Thank you. And it's talking about the riches of his glory. And then it says, verse 19, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. In other words, the power that God puts inside of us is like his strength, his power. And even though this is an explosive type of power, a power of miraculous works, most of the time in the New Testament, when it's talked about, it talks about God's work inside of us. It's not talking about miracles of healing and casting out demons and things like that, although that's certainly part of God's power. But it's talking primarily about inside of us. And it's coming from that treasure that we talked about last week. See, this treasure, Jesus, releases dunamis, the power of God. Another way you could put this, it's really the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's the, and we see that very often in the scriptures too, don't we? The power of the Holy Spirit works inside of us. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. In John 20, after Jesus after his resurrection, one of the first things he tells his disciples, and let me just kind of read it. It says, verse 21, he says, so Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. That's his peace, by the way. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And this is what Jesus has been talking about for the last several weeks. I mean, look at John 14, 13, 14, 15, 16. It's all about the Holy Spirit that God was going to send to the disciples. Because when Jesus was here on earth, he was limited. I mean, he wasn't limited in his power, but because he was limited because he was walking in the flesh, right? You know, and so therefore he couldn't be in Jerusalem and he couldn't be in Galilee at the same time. You know, he couldn't be talking to Peter one-on-one and talking to James and John at the same time. He was limited. And that's why Jesus says there in John 14, he says, it's actually to your advantage that I go away. Because if I go away, that's when I'm going to send my Holy Spirit and he's going to be with you all the time. So what about this? So part of the new life that we receive in Christ is the Holy Spirit. It's something that flows out of this treasure. So let's just real quick, let's kind of review the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I'm getting most of this from John 13, 14, 15, 16, although a few other places too. He's called the Helper. Why is that? Because he comes alongside of us to help us. By the way, walking this Christian life, do we need his help sometimes? I know I do. And I have a hunch that all of you do too. You know, he helps us live out the Christian life. He also comforts us. Because sometimes walking in this world, it gets kind of crazy. And we need his comfort. The Holy Spirit promises to comfort us. He teaches us about the things of God. He brings to remembrance the things that God has already taught us. And probably a lot of us have had that experience where maybe a verse we forgot about or a passage we forgot about, and we're talking to someone and all of a sudden it kind of comes to mind. Or maybe we're kind of going through a difficult time and we think, wait a minute, I remember. We talked about this in house church. Oh, it's been about a year ago. But that's the Holy Spirit bringing to our memory, to our remembrance things. He's called the Spirit of Truth. He leads us into truth. Actually, he kind of helps us discern what is true and what's not true. And by the way, aren't there a lot of things that aren't true going on? Yes, we need that. He also guides us. He leads us, you know, in the paths that he's ordained for us. He also serves as our advocate before God, like our lawyer. He also intercedes for us. Actually, he intercedes for us day and night. So even when you're sleeping, the Holy Spirit inside of you is interceding for you. Help Mike. I know he's kind of a basket case, but have mercy on him. You know. So that's what he helps us resist temptation. He's also referred to as the Spirit of Wisdom because he gives us wisdom when sometimes we need wisdom. And we could go on and on, but I think you get the idea. In fact, probably the Holy Spirit is bringing to your remembrance all the things he does for us. And the Holy Spirit is inside of us. And that's beautiful. That's amazing. And that is, he's the source of the power that works within us. Ephesians 1, verse 13, 14. I like this verse. It says, in him, you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. He actually seals us with his Holy Spirit. And if that's not enough, he says in verse 14, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. So he was given to us as a pledge of our coming inheritance. Now, maybe we should just kind of pause a second here. What we're talking about this morning is not to be confused with being filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the word is baptized with the Holy Spirit. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're filled with power to be witnesses, to reach out to others. What we're talking about today is the Holy Spirit who helps us in our personal Christian walk. Both are important, but today we're talking about the Holy Spirit and his power to help us walk the Christian life. Actually, sometimes people want to skip over the Spirit's transforming work inside of us. Oh, yeah, well, I kind of like to hear about being a witness and preaching to thousands. I want to skip over that. I want to skip over him transforming us. And that always ends in disaster. And sadly, it brings reproach in the name of the Lord. But that's another topic. So today, our focus is the power of God living inside of us. Now, going back to 2 Corinthians 4, it says the surpassing greatness of the power. By the way, that's the same phrase we saw in Ephesians 1:19, the surpassing greatness of the power. Surpassing greatness is actually one word in Greek. That's because it takes at least two words to kind of get this idea. Actually, it probably takes more than that because it's very hard to translate. The Greek word is hyperbole. And I think we have this up here. Yes, right. And it's not an easy word to translate. It suggests excessive, superior, utterly the most. Actually, we get the word, and I think it's in Spanish too, hyperbole from this word. You can probably kind of see that. And what does hyperbole mean? It means extravagant exaggeration. You know, except in this case, it's not an exaggeration, you know, although it may seem like it. An example would be this is, I'm so excited, I jumped to the moon. I didn't really jump to the moon, did I? That's exaggerated. But it's, you kind of get the idea, right? You know, well, this isn't the way this is used, it's that same concept. It seems like it's kind of exaggerated, but it's really not. That's the surpassing greatness of the power. Here's some of the ways it's kind of translated. Exceeding greatness. All prevailing power. Unparalleled power. Transcendent power. And then the grandeza del poder, the la extraordinaria grandeza del poder. In other words, you just can't get it all in there. That's one word. So, in other words, the surpassing greatness of the power, it means this power inside of us is exceedingly great. It's marvelous. Nothing's like it. It's beyond all else. It's par excellence. It's super abundant. It's utterly the most. It goes beyond all limits that we could ever put on it. Actually, literally, if you take it apart, that's what it means. It means it's just kind of like it's beyond all limits. It's being kind of thrown out in a way that it's just unbelievable. That's the power of God. Actually, probably the way we could probably describe it, it's like getting up to bat and you hit a home run into the stands, out of the park. But every time, that's the power of God. I say, yeah, I kind of like this. And it helps us live the Christian life. Like overcoming anger, overcoming lust, getting rid of pride, greed, being disciplined. That's the power of God. And it says that this power of God might be of God and not from ourselves. Now, that is really, really important. Because if we try to do something in our own effort, our own power, what happens? We're going to fall flat, right? We're going to crack like this earthen vessel does so often, And sadly, there's many born from above, born again people, Christians, they're not experiencing this surpassing greatness of the power of God. What is happening? John 12:24. And this is probably the most important part of today's message. 12:24. It says, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Okay, so a kernel of wheat is made up of two parts. There's kind of the seed in it, because it's real, and then there's a husk. There's like an outer shell around it. And the outer shell is called the chaff, And what he's saying here is that when a grain of wheat falls into the earth, that outer part kind of decays. And then the grain of wheat can sprout up and bear much fruit. But it has to die first. Actually, the way that they would harvest wheat back, there's machines that do this now. But the way they did it before, they would get a winnowing fork. And they would get the wheat and they would just throw it up over and over and over. And eventually, as you did that, the wind would what? Blow away the chaff. That's why, like in, I don't have this verse up as a slide, but Matthew 3, John the Baptist is talking about Jesus, and he says, his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, Matthew 3:12, and he will gather his wheat into the fire, into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Actually, sometimes that's what Jesus says he's going to. Sometimes we feel like we've been kind of thrown up and thrown up and thrown up and thrown up, over and over and over. Well, there's a purpose, because sometimes we're not dying fast enough. So Jesus helps us along. He gets that winnowing fork And he tries to kind of, you know, he lets us be tossed around to where that husk can go off. Another way you could put it, the husk is our outward life, our flesh. Compared to the seed or the kernel inside, it's nothing. It's just kind of a little husk. But sometimes it's kind of hard to get off. It has to die first. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. And he has said to me, this is Paul talking. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. You get that? In other words, the weakness, our flesh, his grace comes in as that falls off. We want the power of Christ in our lives, don't we? But just because we're born again doesn't mean it's happening. Verse 10 goes on, therefore I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is such an important principle in God's word. It's the same way. It's another way of kind of saying the whole thing in John 12. That unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And by the way, this truth can be applied to so many areas in our life. When we let ourselves die to ourselves, we enter into a new realm of His power. It changes all areas. So if we're talking about at work, or maybe you're talking about at home, where are your difficulties? At school, in ministry, wherever your difficulties are, you're probably thinking, yeah, all those, you know. God is trying to get us to die to that outward husk where His seed, His life, that treasure, His power can burst forth and produce fruit. And Jesus helps it along with the winnowing fork. You know, may we see this, because this will change our life. The power within, the Holy Spirit, desires to transform us, starting from the inside and going to the outside. He wants to get rid of all that pride, anger, lust, greed, restlessness, confusion, bitterness, prejudice. May His power, coming forth from the treasure that we've been talking about, break forth into every area of our lives. It's explosive. It's miraculous. It's supernatural. One last verse, and let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we want to jump down to verse 10, because this sort of sums it up. Always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly... By the way, you can kind of circle that in your Bible if you want. Those who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in you, but life in you. Okay, so we're always to be caring about in the body, that's the earthen vessel, the dying of Jesus. Why? So that the life of Jesus, that's the treasure, might be manifested in our body, the earthen vessel. And then it's kind of repeated in the next verse. So that the life of Jesus, the treasure, may be manifested in our mortal body. That's the earthen vessel. By the way, that word manifested, it mentions it, I think, 3 or 4 times in this one particular chapter. That the life of Jesus might be manifested. That literally means to be made known and recognized by everyone around. So if you are applying the spiritual principle, then the life of Jesus should be known to everyone that we come in contact with. Everyone should recognize, oh, that person is one of those Jesus followers. I can tell, you know. That's the way it's supposed to work. May his power be released in our lives. But we have to really know him first. Remember last week we talked about it's not about just knowing about the treasure. It's having the treasure inside of us. Regeneration. So that's two questions I want to ask. One, do you know for sure that you've been truly born again? That you have Jesus living inside of your heart? In a few minutes, we're going to, you know, do what we did last time. We're not going to be doing this next few weeks, I don't think. But we're going to have a response time in which you can kind of come up and someone will pray for you and you can give your life to the Lord. Or the second question, this may apply to a lot of us. Are we willing to die? Are we willing to let that chaff, the outer person, be blown away in order that his life be released in fullness? Sometimes we need to make that decision to let go or to surrender or to die, you know, to the things that we're holding close to. So maybe, Danielle, can you go up once more and just kind of play for us? I know you've, yeah, you select a song. And I want to pray. Lord, we're talking about a very, very important principle here. Lord, it's the principle of letting your power be manifest. Your power be released in our lives. Lord, there's no doubt about the power. Lord, your word says it over and over. The surpassing greatness, it's miraculous, it's supernatural. Actually, Lord, we know that in Romans 8, that it's the same power, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the power and the spirit that lives within us. But Lord, if we're really honest with ourselves, a lot of times it's not being released like it should be. Lord, that's not on you, it's on us. Because Lord, we're holding fast some of this chaff in our area, in our lives. We don't want to let it go. And yet, Lord, letting it go is really what we're looking for. We're looking for you to live inside of us. So this morning, Lord, we ask that you be speaking to us. And we just ask, Lord, that you would have your way within us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.